Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. He presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look into the details of this story, we pray that the Holy Spirit will use it to challenge each one of us to a closer walk with you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope is a popular word, partly because it is a positive word. It has been used to name many places and people. Perhaps the most popular of such places is the town of Hope in Arkansas, USA, which is the hometown of President Bill Clinton. It is also interesting that in the United States, faith and hope are fairly common names for twin girls, while faith, hope, and charity are popular names for triplets. Of course, we know that charity is another word for love, especially in the King James Version of the Bible. According to Wikipedia, the American triplets Faith, Hope, and Charity Cardwell, who were born in 1899 in Texas, they were recognized in 1994 by the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's longest-lived triplets. Experience shows that we sometimes come across things that can discourage us and make us feel hopeless and helpless. The ongoing COVID-19 crisis is certainly one of those things. On 1st January 2020, in line with the usual annual practice, we watched on TV impressive fireworks from around the world, including the ones displayed on the banks of River Thames in London.
We wish one another a happy new year, not knowing that an enemy called COVID-19 was going to bring misery to many homes all over the world. In this eventful year, we have had to familiarize ourselves with certain words and phrases. For example, coronavirus, lockdown, social distancing, contact tracing, self-quarantine, super spreader, the follow scheme, Zoom, etc., etc. If we are not careful, the sadness, distress, and uncertainties caused by the COVID-19 illness and other problems in our lives could erode our positive attitude about the future. It is my prayer that at times like this, we will anchor our hope on the rock that will never fail us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The story we read in Luke 7 started on a hopeless note, but thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, it ended on a resounding note of hope. Consequently, the title of this message is Jesus Brings Hope to the Hopeless. Jesus brings hope to the hopeless. And I would like to focus on the following key points. The first one, no one understands like Jesus. Secondly, even the dead obey Jesus. And thirdly, bring your dead situations to Jesus. Let us look at these three points in detail. The first one, no one understands like Jesus. The statement, no one understands like Jesus, is actually the title of a well-known song written by John W. Peterson. That statement is a reminder that Jesus Christ totally understands us, and he is in a unique position to help us in our times of need. Sometimes we are going through such deep agony, and our problems are so complex that those around us don't really understand what we are going through. Sometimes we ourselves do not fully understand what is happening to us. But Jesus Christ understands. Because he completely understands us and our situations, the compassion he shows us is deeper and more special than any other. The miracle described in Luke 7, 11 to 17 took place near the gates of the city called Nain, which was about 25 miles southwest of Capernaum. It happened the day after Jesus had miraculously healed a centurion's servant in Capernaum. He was accompanied to Nain by his disciples and a large crowd. They met another crowd near the Nain city gate. In fact, it was a funeral procession to bury a young man who was the only son of a widow. This lady had already lost her husband, her breadwinner, her companion, and her special friend. As expected in many cultures, her son must have stepped in as the breadwinner, and he must also have helped in reducing her loneliness. Therefore, losing her son was really a double blow, and she must have been dejected, depressed, hopeless, and exceedingly sorrowful. Her future looked bleak. That was her situation before Jesus intervened. The first reaction of Jesus towards the widow was that of compassion. In Luke 7:13, we read the following words. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Why did Jesus say to her, do not weep? Surely, Jesus expected the widow to weep in response to the sad loss of her only son. Was that statement contradictory to the statement that Jesus had compassion on her? According to some biblical experts, there is no contradiction at all, because the text that was translated as do not weep literally means do not go on weeping. Jesus could say that to her because he was going to perform a miracle that would turn her weeping into joy. Was this encounter with the funeral procession coincidental? I don't think so. Jesus, the Son of God, had the power to fully comprehend the widow's pain even before setting out of Capernaum. I believe that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, felt the grief of this widow and deliberately made the journey to help her. The journey by foot from Capernaum to Nain, a distance of 25 miles, would have taken many hours. And yet, Jesus arrived near the Nain city gate just at the time the dead young man was being taken for burial. Jesus got there just at the right time. Have you been waiting for a long time for God to help you in a particular way? Have you been wondering if that help will ever come? If so, be encouraged by the widow's experience. God will intervene in his right time. It may appear to you to be the 11th hour, but it will be the right hour. Furthermore, the widow's experience was another example of God sending help to us when we are not even aware of it. While the widow and her neighbors were sorrowing and mourning, Jesus and his disciples were on their way from Capernaum to Nain. While the widow was not aware of it, God's help was already on the way. Our loving Heavenly Father is still helping his children in this way today. Even when we don't realize it, he is protecting our interests and working on our behalf. Do not go on weeping. God's help is on the way. Praise the Lord. I referred earlier on to the song titled No One Understands Like Jesus by John W. Peterson. I think it was written in 1921. Here are the lyrics of two of the verses and the chorus. I find them very encouraging personally, and I hope you'll find them encouraging too. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet him at the throne of mercy. He's waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus. Every woe he sees and feels. Tenderly he whispers comfort, and the broken heart he heals. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so near, so dear as Jesus. cast your every care on him. We thank God that Jesus totally understands everything we are going through, and he is our compassionate friend. Indeed, may God help us all to cast all our cares on him, in line with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Let's look at the second key point. Even the dead obey Jesus. According to Luke 7, 13 to 15, our Lord Jesus Christ intervened in two important ways. First, as we read earlier on in verse 13, Jesus comforted the widow with the words, "Do not weep." Unknown to her at that stage, there was a big surprise package waiting for her. The second way in which Jesus intervened was that he brought the widow's son back to life. With great authority, Jesus commanded the dead young man to get up. Luke 7:14 reads, "Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.'" We can just imagine the great hush all around following this command, with all eyes fixed on the open coffin. Questions in their minds could have included, will he or will he not respond? It was Christ's authority on the line right in front of them. If the dead man remained dead, it would have dealt a big blow on the claims of Jesus Christ to be the Messiah. However, we praise God that Jesus triumphed over death, and the dead young man obeyed the authoritative command of Jesus Christ. Let us read Luke 7:15. "So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother." Jesus turned the widow's mourning into dancing. The meaning of the name Nain is green pastures, or lovely, or beauty. There was nothing lovely or beautiful about this story until Jesus stepped in and turned the widow's sorrow into joy. He gave her fresh hope for the future. May the Almighty God turn your mourning into dancing. May your experience be in line with Psalm 30 verse 5, which reads, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." It is worth noting that there were two other occasions when Jesus restored life to dead people. Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, and Lazarus in John 11. Like it was in the case of the widow's son, Jesus commanded them to come back to life, and the dead obeyed him. Let's look at the case of Jairus' daughter. We read from Mark 5, 41 to 42, the following words. "Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately, the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, but this is what we read in John 11, 43 to 44. Now when he had said these things, he cried out aloud, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." It is clear from these miracles that even the dead obey the commands of Jesus. This is very significant. The miracles confirm that he was indeed the Messiah. Furthermore, apart from showing that Jesus had power over death, the three miracles imply that Jesus was more than a human being. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we learn that Jesus is God and the creator of everything. If that is true, he should have the answer to death. If Jesus is God, he should be able to bring new life to a dead body. If he created something out of nothing, he should be able to recreate the dead cells in the human body. Praise God that Jesus indeed restored life to the widow's son and to the daughter of Jairus and to Lazarus. And by these outstanding miracles, he demonstrated that he was not just a human being, but God in human flesh. His amazing power over death was additionally demonstrated at his glorious resurrection. Yes, Jesus is alive today, and according to Romans 8:34, he is at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. Therefore, we can confidently sing that beautiful song written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Remember, because Jesus lives, you and I can face that unknown tomorrow. There is a life after COVID-19. I don't know what that kind of life is going to look like, but I know the one who knows it, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus knows the post-COVID-19 life. He knows the post-COVID-19 future. And I can confidently say, and I hope you can confidently say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the last key point. Bring your dead situations to Jesus. The reaction of the crowd following this miracle in Nain is stated in Luke chapter 7, verse 16. And I read, "Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.'" Having seen the power of God displayed in such an awesome way, what we can call good fear came upon all the people there. They were full of respect for God and they glorified him. The miracle they had just witnessed pointed to the fact that Jesus was indeed the Messiah they had been looking for. The people also recognized that the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15 were being fulfilled before their very eyes. Let us read Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." The people also made a very important statement. They said, "God has visited his people." Just imagine the change in the mood of the people in the funeral procession. Before Jesus intervened, they were going to bury a young man in his prime, the only son of a widow. It was all gloom and doom. Then, at the command of Jesus, the dead young man came to life. Praise exploded in the crowd, and they realized something special. God had visited his people, not to judge them, but to help them. Where there was death, he replaced it with life. Where there was sorrow, he replaced it with joy. Where there was hopelessness, he brought hope. This is very encouraging for you and I today, to know that the Almighty God has come to help us. He sent Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. He sent him to this world to save us from our sins, to give us the right to be children of God, and to give us abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we read the following familiar words. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Yes, in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, God has come to help his people live abundant lives. However, sometimes that abundant life is not evident in our lives. One of the ways this problem shows up is that we sometimes feel defeated, discouraged, hopeless, and helpless. Is there anything today that is making you feel that way? If so, bring those dead situations to Jesus and let him breathe new life into them. I am not a sportsman by any stretch of imagination, but I like watching football on TV. To be honest, I still cannot explain why I take such pleasure in watching football matches. I just like doing so. And yet I'm not a sportsman. I'm what you may call an armchair pundit. And I sometimes wish that the club I support would implement some of the opinions I express in our living room. Now, one aspect of the game that appeals to me is that one can learn life lessons from what happens during a football game. This reminds me of a football match that Nigerians will never forget. In fact, in the history of Nigerian football, it is called the Miracle of Dammam. It was a FIFA Under 20 World Youth Championship quarterfinal match between Nigeria and the old Soviet Union, or USSR. The match was played at the Prince Mohammed bin Fahad bin Abdul Aziz Stadium in Dammam, Saudi Arabia, on February 25th, 1989. It seemed that the Nigerians were going to lose the match when they were 4-0 down after 60 minutes. Yes, 4-0 down. However, an unused Nigerian substitute player, in other words, he was on the bench, his name was Taiwo Enegwa, he refused to accept defeat even at 4-0 down. And he firmly believed that Nigeria will win the match. The Nigerian coach, Tunde Disu, said that Taiwo encouraged him a lot as the minutes were ticking by. Taiwo told the coach, "Coach, don't lose hope. We can perform a miracle." Miraculously, it was 4-4 at full time, and the match went into penalties. According to Taiwo Enegwa, this is what he said: "For the penalties, I was praying that God should finish that which he started by giving us victory." In addition to Taiwo, the players themselves prayed for victory during the penalty shootouts. And I can tell you, many Nigerians watching the match were also praying for victory during the penalty shootout. In the end, Nigeria won 5-4 on penalties. And what seemed a sure defeat was turned into one of the most remarkable victories in the history of FIFA tournaments. While some people may say that the prayers did not influence the outcome of the match, you need to talk to Taiwo Enegwa, who prayed. Taiwo would say without a doubt that he prayed for a miracle, and he got a miracle. Everything around us might indicate total defeat. But if we hang on to Jesus, we will triumph in the end. In your life struggles, you may be 0-4 down at present, but it is only half time. Jesus can help you equalize and go on to win on penalties. Therefore, I challenge you to bring your hopeless situations to Jesus today and ask him to grant you a miracle. But somebody might ask me or might say to me, "Oh, I have been trusting this Jesus for a miracle for many years and nothing has happened." My answer to that person would be that I don't really know why some people get their miracles and some don't. I also don't know why some people get their miracles quickly and some take years to get their miracles. I just don't know. But one thing I know, and that is Jesus wants us to trust him again and again. He wants us to remain faithful again and again. And in his own perfect time, he would intervene. His perfect time may be minutes. His perfect time may be hours. His perfect time may be days. His perfect time may be months. His perfect time may even be years, but he makes all things beautiful in his time. Keep trusting him. Keep having faith in him. He will strengthen you all the way. So I encourage you today, brothers and sisters, and all those watching, to bring all your dead situations to Jesus and let him do a miracle for you, but only in his time. In conclusion, we have examined the topic, Jesus brings hope to the hopeless. And we focus on three key points. The first one, no one understands like Jesus. Yes, he fully understands all we are going through, and he will show us his compassion. Secondly, even the dead obey Jesus. Yes, Jesus has power over physical and spiritual death. He is the awesome Son of God. He has conquered sin and death. He is alive today, making intercession for us. And we can confidently sing that beautiful song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And thirdly, bring your dead situations to Jesus. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to help us. He came to save us from our sins, give us the right to be children of God, and give us abundant life. I encourage you all to bring all your dead situations to Jesus today, so that he will breathe life into them. It is my prayer that he will give us his hope wherever and whenever we feel hopeless. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, we read the following. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Have you accepted by faith this wonderful free gift of forgiveness that God offers us? If not, I challenge you to do so without delay. Remember that we can only find true hope in Jesus Christ. Our future is secure when we stand on Christ, the solid rock, as the hymn writer Edward Mote clearly stated. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you have already accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, I ask you, is there any area of your life where you have been letting him down? If so, confess it to him and repent. Remember the encouragement we have in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. In closing, my prayer for us is captured in the words of Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may God bless you all. Amen and amen. Let us have the closing prayer. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you that indeed Jesus Christ understands us completely. Thank you that he understands everything we are going through. And thank you that he is our compassionate friend. Help us, Lord, to surrender to him all those things that are making us unhappy, things that make us hopeless and helpless. Help us bring them to him today and leave them there with him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in charge and in control of what is happening around us and in the world today. Thank you that COVID-19 did not take you by surprise, because you knew it even before the beginning of time. And thank you that because you are in control, we can trust you that all is well. We can trust you that you will see us through this difficult time. We can trust you to give us hope for the future. And so, Father, we want to remember those people who have lost loved ones as a result of the COVID-19 illness. Father, we pray that you will comfort them deeply. That, Lord, you give them strength to carry on and move on with their lives. And, Lord, we also know that there are many people who are infected in many parts of the world, needing healing. We thank you, Lord, for the hospitals and homes where they are being cared for. But Father, you are the healer, and we pray that you visit all of them wherever they are and touch them and heal them completely. We also, Lord, pray for the rest of us that you will protect us completely from infection. And Lord, we thank you for those who are working to find effective cure or effective medication and vaccination for this COVID-19 illness. Father, we pray that you grant them success, and before long, we'll be able to have a normal life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that despite what is happening around us, despite the lockdown, your church is alive and well. Keep us strong, Lord. Help us to use this time even to spread the gospel more than ever before. Lord, give us opportunities, opportunities that we never dreamt of. Give us those opportunities, Lord, to spread the gospel. And already we can see that through the internet, you are already taking the word to many people who would never have heard of Jesus. Lord, we pray that such people will be touched by the gospel and that they will turn their lives to Jesus. Do your miracle, Lord, in their lives. The biggest miracle is salvation. Lord, bring many people into your kingdom, even in this crisis. So, Lord, we commit everyone to your hands. We pray that you be with us, bless us, strengthen us, and let this message bear fruit, fruit that will last. Because we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you, and God bless you all.